My name is David D. Levine. I'm an award-winning writer of science fiction and fantasy. I have 4 novels and over 60 short stories published, and I've won awards, including the Hugo and Nebula. I live in Portland, Oregon. I travel a lot, and you can find my website at daviddlevine.com. I always have to use that middle initial because daviddlevine.com was taken.
This is the first episode of a series with David D. Levine. David D. Levine is the author of Nebula award-winning novel titled Arabella of Mars. The novel was followed by sequels Arabella and the Battle of Venus and Arabella, the Traitor of Mars, and over 50 science fiction and fantasy stories. His story, Tick, 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 won the Hugo, and he has been shortlisted for awards including the Hugo, Nebula, Campbell, and Sturgeon. His stories have appeared in science fiction magazines such as Asimov's, Analog, Clark's World, Fantasy and Science Fiction, and Tor.com. And those stories have also found their way into numerous years' best anthologies. Get to know David's breadth as a writer through his short story collection, Space Magic, an Endeavor award-winning collection that puts together 15 critically acclaimed science fiction and fantasy stories that take readers from a Technicolor cartoon realm to an ancient China that never was, and from an America gone wrong to the very ends of the universe. Space Magic shows David D. Levine's talents not only as a gifted writer, but as a powerful storyteller whose work explores the farthest reaches of space as well as the depths of the human heart. So, David, why do you write science fiction?
So, seriously, I have always wondered, what's the point of telling a fictional story where you're limited to things that could actually happen? You know, I find mimetic literature, straight literature, I find it boring. If you're limited to just things that actual people could actually do, when there is this whole universe of imagination available to fiction writers, why restrict yourself?
Nice, nice. You know, I suppose if you're going to write a novel, it should be really novel.
Yeah, really. The term novel dates back to like the 1500s, so it's not really very new. it's like there's these stores in the world. You don't see them very often anymore, called novelty stores. Mm. You go into one of those, there's never anything new. It's the same old fake dog poop and flying plastic ice cube as there was last year, 20 years ago, 50 years ago. Novelty stores are no longer new.
That's sad. Okay. Now, what's the hallmark of a David D. Levine story?
The thing that I find myself doing over and over again is writing a story about some guy who falls in love with something entirely inappropriate. that seems to be the one. I have a lot of fathers and sons. I have a lot of stuff about language, about how the languages that we speak influence the things that we think about, and how we are the product of our own histories. That in the words of an educational video I saw when I was young and in my formative state, what you are is where you were when. That you can learn a lot about a person by knowing what they went through during their formative years. It's like a person who grew up during the Depression is going to be heavily motivated by money and security. A person who grew up during the go-go 80s is not going to be influenced by money the same way somebody who grew up during the Depression is. That people who grew up in the 80s are going to be a lot more motivated by self-actualization, by the opportunity to be creative, to be themselves, in a way that you cannot separate somebody who is 80 years old from somebody who grew up during the 1940s. Yeah. They are one and the same. But, and so it is true that we become more ourselves as we age. You know, that crabby young people grow up to be crabby old people. Crabbier. We become more ourselves as our age, and there are things that you can say about a person just because, well, this person is 80 years old, so they're going to have a certain perspective on life. But it's also true that a person who is 80 years old is always a person who grew up during the 1940s. I may be off by 10 years on that, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so there, you can make some predictions about what a person is like based on knowing what they went through. And that's going to be heavily influenced by world history at that time, which is going to be the same for everybody. I mean, obviously, people have different circumstances, but there's no escaping. There's no escaping the news. There's no escaping what's happening in the world at this time. And so, for example, people who are old did not grow up with technology in a way that people who are young did. And so their attitudes toward technology are going to be different on average. So these are all things that, you know, this what you are is where you were when is something that is foundational to all of my writing. And I pay a lot of attention to my characters' backstories in order to determine how they will behave today and what kind of conflicts they'll have with each other because they have different perspectives.
Cool. Nice. What you are is where you were when. Did I get that right?
What you are is where you were when.
Yep. Oh, cool. Nice. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, it kind of works into the whole, like, there's a story set in a particular time, but then the people that are in the story, there's a big relationship to time that happened before they got to that point where the...
Yeah, and something that I will always do when I'm working on a story is I'll write up a little timeline of, you know, how old is this character and what in the universe of the story, what did they live through? You know, the older characters... Or characters from different backgrounds will have lived through things that other characters had not.
Cool. Now, your latest work, the Kuiper Belt Job, what was the inspiration for that?
That I can trace back to a particular event. It was a panel it was a WorldCon, it was Chicago, I think it was 2007. And I was on a panel with a number of other people where we were brainstorming a sequel to the Firefly movie. So this was about 7 or 8 years after Serenity came out. And we were thinking, if we were to put together another Firefly movie, what would we do? And so the idea that emerged from this group discussion, and I cannot at this point tell you what ideas came out of whose head, was that the new Firefly movie would be, It's 7 or 8 years after the events of Serenity. As you know, in Serenity, a lot of the main cast were killed. Well, two of the main characters were killed, and a lot of the other people were seriously affected by it. So it's 10 years later, and Mal's son, of course, Mal had a son that nobody knew about. Mal's son shows up and says, "Dad's in jail, and we're putting the gang back together again." And that idea just stuck in my head. It was one of many ideas in my ideas file, but I just kept thinking about that one because I loved Firefly, and I was thinking about what made Firefly so beloved, and thinking about the found family aspects of it, and also thinking about the TV show Leverage, which not as many people know as No Firefly, but it was a moderately successful story. And it was a moderately successful TV show in the 90s. And I know a lot of people that were big fans, including me. And what Firefly and Leverage have in common is they're the stories of a group of people who are outside the law, who work together in a way that makes them closer than family. And that found family aspect of the stories is what makes people really passionate about it. And I wanted to see that kind of passion for my own work. So I wanted to write a story about a found family. And so I took that idea. It had originally been Firefly fanfic, but I filed the serial numbers off. And, you know, it took me 2 years to write this book. You can't work on something for 2 years and not make the characters your own. So even though each of the main characters in my book is kind of a mashup of a Firefly character and the corresponding Leverage character. But I think if I didn't tell you that, I hope that you would not necessarily recognize that that was the case. I'm hoping that this book will appeal to people who like Firefly. but not necessarily they would immediately recognize it as Firefly fanfic, because it isn't Firefly fanfic. They are my own characters, and the situation is definitely not the situation from Firefly.
If you enjoy listening to Sci-Fi Thoughts, but find it difficult to remember to check the website for new shows, get this technology from the future! Install into your phone a podcast player. Using this, you can subscribe to our podcast feed. And next thing you know, you'll be cruising around in your car with your phone plugged in, playing Sci-Fi Thoughts, or you'll be out there jogging, or you'll be doing whatever you want to do. And have your ears plugged into some cool science fiction programming. You can find instructions on LancerKind.com. Check out the goodies in the show notes, because we've got links to David E. Levine's Wikipedia history and some other things that we picked up as we ran the series. What are show notes? Show notes show up right in your podcast player for your easy access. If you downloaded the MP3 from a website, go back to the page where you got the MP3, and there you will see the show notes. Next episode, more David D. Levine.
So the story is set in a solar system inhabited by humanity. There's a gang of grifters and thieves who are scattered survivors of a big job gone very wrong. I like that frame. That's a very fascinating backstory. Can you tell more about the big job gone wrong, and what are these grifter and thieves up to?